Now I say Colossians 3. I'll have to edit that. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 9 through verse 12 this evening. Now, I looked at verse 9 last week, but I'm going to mention it again this week, and I'm going to put it in this section that I'm going tonight. Here's what we'll be covering. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening we have this privilege of worship. Thankful for this book that you've given us, Lord, and this church that you've given us, and the people, these people, Lord, that are here in their faithfulness. We pray that you continue to add to this assembly as pleases you. We're thankful for this young man, Brother Xander. We're thankful for him and how you've touched his heart and been an instrument in his life. And we pray that you'd bless him, Lord, as we baptize. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and look. Let's go ahead and begin at verse 9. As I've already said, I dealt with this last time out of this particular text. He's telling us to put off things. Now, that when someone's born again, when someone's saved, you need to look at putting things off. And we don't seek to put off sin to get saved. We do it because we love the Lord. I think everyone that's born again should seek to live a life that is sober and righteous and godly. We don't seek to live righteous in order to get saved. We seek to live righteous because we represent the Lord. I want to be a good ambassador for Him. I want to represent Him well. I don't want to represent Him in such a way that would ever bring reproach upon His name. Do y'all agree with me? Be a horrible thing to bring reproach upon the name of the one that you represent. Now here, in our text, it says, lie not one to the other, verse 9, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. Now I wrote these down from one of my favorite writers, and I'll tell you who it is maybe after a while. Here's what he says about putting off the old man. This is what he's referring to. The old man with his deeds of sin were put off when the believer received Christ by faith. Think about that just for a little bit. The old man, that's your old self, with his deeds of sin were put off when the believer received Christ by faith. That's when the old man was put off. You see, before we was living under sin, living under a sin curse. But what's happened to our sin now that we've been born again? That our sin has been put off. Now, that's not saying that we don't ever sin in this human body, but it just simply means that our sin has been removed. And that's the idea of it. It's been paid for, and it's been paid for in what? It's been paid for in full. I'm thankful. There was a day when this old man was dominant in my life and I was living in sin and living under a sin curse. But guess what now? I've been set free from that sin curse. That curse was paid by Jesus 2,000 years ago when he died and when he rose again. So I've put off the old man. I put off the old man. Now this was not done by the believer's power or works. This was not done by the believer's power or works, but by the one that he believed in. Who's the one that we believed in? We believed in Christ, and when we trusted in Christ, what was the result of that? He removed our debt. He removed our sin. And that's man's greatest need. Let me read. Remember, I'm quoting, really. I wrote this down out of a book. Christ paid for all the sinful deeds of the old man. Do y'all agree with that? You best hope, because if he only paid for half the sins, you'd be in bad shape. Christ paid for all the sinful deeds of the old man or the old Adamic nature. He paid for all of them. when he died on Calvary. That's when he paid. That's why we sing Jesus paid it. See, that's what this is referring to. At least that's what I think it does. The deeds of sin were put off forever whenever you were saved. Do y'all want to know who I was quoting there? Hollis, do you know who I was quoting? Nope. I'll give you one more guess. Edward Overby. Edward Overby. He was one of the, well, he came here probably for how many years, Brother Hollis? And of all people I read after on this text, he was the very best one to read after. It makes what I just gave you makes good common sense. When you're talking about putting it off, when did he put it off? When was our sin put off? It was when we believed. It's when by faith we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. He put our sins off. Aren't you glad? Look back at Colossians 2 and the verse 13. It says, "And you who were dead in your sins." Now, when it says we were dead in our sins, that means you was a spiritual what? You were a spiritual corpse. You were a dead before you were made alive. You see, in order to get saved, you have to be made alive. Who makes you alive? Well, the Holy Spirit does. That's the reason why salvation's of the Lord. Because a man can't save himself in and of his own. The Lord has to work in an old sinner's heart like he worked in our heart. There was a day that I realized I was dead and lost and going to hell. And what happened? As I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and then my sins was put away. As far as the east is from the west. Let's look back at Colossians 2:13. You being dead in your sins, spiritual corpse. What's a spiritual corpse need? You need to be made alive. That's what people need, to be made alive. Who does that? The Holy Spirit does that. Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible again says no man can say, 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the what? No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to work in a sinner's heart. And what he does is he quickens them, or he makes them alive. And he opens their eyes and he opens their ears. And then as a result of that, they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what happened to me. And if you're here tonight and born again, that's exactly what happened to you. The deeds of sin were put off forever. Whenever I received Christ as my Savior, I've been forgiven for all my trespasses. Romans chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's go ahead and turn to that one. Romans chapter 4. Talking about our old man getting put off. When did the old man get put off? The old nature, the old sin that we had charged to our account. It got put off the day the Lord saved our souls. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. This verse in Romans 4, verse 7 and 8 is also actually a quote from the Old Testament. Psalm 32, it's quoted just exactly like it is here in Romans 4. So you could go back to Psalm 32, 1 and 2 and get the same verse back in the Old Testament. That means it's the same thing is true in the Old Testament. They were saved in the Old Testament by the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now notice what it says here in verse 7. Now, let's move up to verse 6 so I can get the whole context. Even as David described, that's the psalm I just told you about. Even as David described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without what? It's not by your works. It's clear. It's without your works. You don't do works to get saved. You do them because you are. Blessed is the man. Now, blessed. Who is the blessed man? Who is the blessed man in this world? It says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So that means he doesn't charge sin to your account. All God's people say it. Would you call anybody blessed? That blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Isn't that a blessed man? That means that they're not going to go to and pay for their sins in hell, doesn't it? That means their sins has been removed. He don't charge sin to you. He charged your sin to Jesus. Indeed, that is the blessed man. Would y'all agree? The blessed man is the one to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He doesn't charge it to us. Who'd he charge it to? Well, he charged it to his son. Blessed are those whose iniquities, let's go ahead and read verse 7. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He don't charge sin to you. And it describes a blessed man as a man whose iniquities are forgiven. That's what the Lord did for us. That's what he did for us. Okay? Let's go ahead and go back to, well, let's look at one in the Old Testament. Psalms 103. I pray this every day. So when he's talking about putting off the old man with his deeds, I believe he's talking about salvation. That's what happened the day you were saved. So he put away your sin. He put it away. Psalms 103, notice what it says. And he's, let's begin at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, what to say to do? Bless his holy name. That means to praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his what? Benefits. Oh, my. Me and Stewie's on a negotiating committee. And we was on that negotiating committee for the Teamsters. Buddy, you know what we was interested in? Benefits. Benefits are expensive. People don't realize how expensive benefits are. But we was interested in those benefits. Right here is the greatest benefit package that anybody ever could have. It's priceless. And it belongs to those who have trusted in Jesus. Notice what it said. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. How many iniquities does he forgive you for? What's it say? How many's all? All. One sin would be sufficient to send you to hell. Y'all agree? One evil thought would be sufficient to send you to hell. That's why he says, bless the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. What's the first benefit there? He forgives all your iniquities. He don't charge your sin to you. He paid the price. He paid it in full. And he charged your sin to Jesus. That's what he did. That's a blessed thing. That's a blessed thing. Now, I'm not going to read on down through there because you know what will happen. So let's go back. Let's go back to our text in Colossians. So when he's talking about here in verse 9, it says you have put off the old man. That's what it's talking about. The old man that sinned and the old sin nature, Jesus paid for all of those things whenever you were born again. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad your sins is paid for? Aren't you glad you've been washed clean and given everlasting life? That's a glorious thing to have. And I tell you what, beloved, I'm thankful for that every day of my life. So lie not one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Now, when you put off the old man, do we seek to live godly? We do. The book of Titus says we're to seek to live sober, righteous, and godly in this world. But the difference is we don't do it to get saved or we don't do it to keep saved. This is the danger of it. I've had people say, well, you know, I used to be saved, but I'm not living right now. Then they come back and they start living right for a while. They run to the altar. Then they start living right again. They try to be perfect. Then they fall back out again. Then they run back to the altar and they get saved again. See what I mean? How many times have you seen it? I've seen it a lot over the years. Something wrong whenever things like that happen. When you're born again, when he opens your heart and opens your understanding and you trust him as your Savior and you receive his righteousness like we talk about, it also changes your life. That's why the Bible says old things pass away, all things become new. You're different now. And you have a desire to live in such a way that is, like we said, sober, righteous, and godly. And we do that. Why do we do it? Why do we seek to live right after we're saved? To keep saved? To keep saved? Or is it because you love him? because you love him. That's why you do it. The scripture, we sing it. We sing the song, I'll serve thee because I love thee. I'll serve thee because I love thee. You've given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Hey, who found you? Was you a lost sheep before you saved? I'm asking. You was a lost sheep. All I'm asking you is who found you. Have to be Christ, wouldn't it? If you were a lost sheep, the one that came and found you was Jesus. And now, guess what? You're a found sheep. And not only are you a found sheep, but you know what else he does? He keeps his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any, Satan, hell, and all of its angels, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Oh, God's people said, yeah, boy, I like that. Well, that's what it's talking about when it's talking about putting off the old man. Now, let's go back to our text in Colossians 3. See, I preach better when I got Isabella's marker. Did y'all see Isabella? She made me that. Yeah. You had a lamina. See how good and straight that is? I wouldn't take a farm in Georgia for that little thing right there. It tickled me to death. Here, Papa, I got you a marker for your Bible. So I cherish that thing. All right, number two. Let's look down here. We looked at the put off the old man. That was done when the Lord saved your soul. He removed your sins. And now you're a new man, aren't you? Are you a new man in Christ? You're a new creation, aren't you? The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. He said, put on the new man. And notice what it says about this new man. This new man is Christ-like in nature. This new man is Christ-like, is a Christ-like nature put on when the believer is born again. Now let me read that one more time. This new man is a Christ-like nature put on when the believer is born again. It's a Christ-like nature put on when the believer is born again. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says we are a new creation. Let's go ahead and turn to that one too. Let me read this one. That don't look right to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you can't find things, just listen, because I'm going to read them. I like this. Glad I turned to it. 2 Corinthians 5. Notice what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he again? New creation. New creation. Now, see, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You have a new standing now. When you're born again, when you're saved, you have a new standing. You have his righteousness. You have his imputed righteousness. But you know what else you have? Well, a lot of times we don't talk a whole lot. You also have imparted righteousness. And what imparted righteousness is you seek to live righteous. I wonder about someone who says they're justified, but they don't live righteous. When you have imputed righteousness, you also have imparted righteousness. You have a new nature, right? Have a new way of living. So what he does when he makes you alive and he makes you born again, it changes how you live and it changes how you conduct yourself. As I told you a bunch of times over the years, I get excited when people make professions of faith. I get most excited when I see it last and people change. Y'all agree? I get more excited when it lasts and then you see them change. If I don't see them change, I wonder about it. How about y'all? I wonder about all the in and out stuff, too. You know, I've seen some people come to church when there's a crisis. When the crisis is over, they leave. Have you ever seen that? Jab, raise your right hand. Let me see it. Doesn't that just burn you up? I've even said it. I said, well, now that the crisis is over, I bet that's it. And it has been. It has been many times. Hey, God's not. Hey, you can't mock the Lord. He knows what's going on with things like that. Man, I don't think there's any greater privilege in this world than serving Jesus. I wouldn't want to do anything else. Man, I love him so we're going to do it forever. Revelation 22:3, when it talks about God's people in heaven, you know what we're going to do? It says, my servants will serve me. That's what it says. You're not going to be floating around there in a cloud strumming a harp, are you? Yeah. We're going to serve him. And that's just fine with me, except our service will be better because we'll have no sin. We'll be perfect then. Our service will be perfect and everything will be perfect. Don't you look forward to being perfect? That's how it's going to be. We'll be a multitude of people there with us too. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and our loved ones will all be there and we'll worship the Lord forever. We don't have no idea how great that's going to be. I can't even get a grasp on it sometimes. Sometimes I like to lay around and think about it a bit. But it's going to be a marvelous thing. I don't think we can even comprehend how great it's going to be. I think it's a beautiful place, as the descriptions from the Scriptures. But to be there in a place where you have no sin and no sickness and no sorrow and no death and no crime and none of these things, I just can't hardly imagine. But that's coming our way eventually. That's what's great about being saved. We got a glorious future ahead of us. You think about how horrible a life it would be without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days. How awful would that be? Like I said, I've talked to people before and they say, I think it's when I was working at John Amos. I was working over there and a guy come in same age as me and he had a job in the plant and I, of course, didn't. And we was talking, and he had his whole life planned out. Well, I'm going to work here about another 5 or 6 years, and I'll have this much in my 401k, and I'll be able to do this right here. I will sit back and retire, and then I'm going to do this right here. And he tell me, then I said, when what? Then what you going to do? You know what you're going to do? You're going to die. Then what? That's what's important. How you answer that, then what? I'm going to come to the end of my days one of these days, if the Lord don't come. And when that then what happens, I know exactly where I'm going. And I don't know how anybody can be happy in this world without the knowledge of that. It's a glorious thing knowing Jesus. And buddy, people need this more than anything in the world. So the new man has been put on. The new man is Christ-like in nature. And you put him on when the and he was put on when the believer was born again, and it also changes the way that you conduct yourself. All right, let's look at let's go back to our text now, Colossians 3. Man, I'm getting windy again. I've been fighting this morning. I was windy, and I left out about half. I've just been studying pretty hard, I guess. Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Put on the new man." And notice what this new man is renewed in. It says he's renewed in knowledge. That's spiritual knowledge. He's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He's renewed in what? Renewed in knowledge. He gives you spiritual knowledge. Knowledge of spiritual things. That's a great thing, isn't it? That's a tremendous thing. So he's renewed in knowledge. Another thing he receives is he created in righteousness. That's another blessing that we have. And then the third one is true holiness. Those are three things that we have in the new birth. Created in righteousness, renewed in knowledge, and true holiness. Those are three things that we have in the new birth in Christ. Glorious, glorious thing. Who give us our knowledge we have? Jesus. Knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of his salvation. All of that comes through him. Verse 11. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither Greek nor Jew. Circumcision nor uncircumcision. Barbarian. Scythian. Bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. all that are born again. You know, we have all these different kinds of divides amongst people. When you're born again, we're all one in Christ. How many believes that? We're all one in Christ. We really indeed are. It's a glorious thing being in Him. Let me show you that. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2 and verse 28. I'm going to ask you a question before I read the text. You should know the answer to it because I've taught on it enough. Who's the Jew? Who's the true Jew? When God looks down from heaven upon the Jew, who is the true Jew? That's my question. Are you ready? Now let me read the text. He is not a Jew. Verse Romans 2 and verse 28. He is not a Jew which is one whereat? Outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one whereat? Inwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. I'm a spiritual. Do y'all realize I'm a spiritual Jew? You realize that? I'm a spiritual Jew. And you know what? If you've trusted Jesus, you are too. You are too. Let me give you some more on that. I'm going to anyhow. Let's turn to Philippians 3. You know this one too. Philippians 3. What was another name that the Jews called themselves? Called them the circumcision, right? What did they call the Gentiles? The uncircumcision. They wouldn't mix with the Gentiles. They weren't allowed to. So they, you remember when David fought Goliath, remember what he called him? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? That's what he called him. He's just basically saying that you're not God's people. Notice what it says here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision. What did they call the Jews in the Old Testament? Called them the circumcision. What do they call the Gentiles? Called them the uncircumcision. This is under the new covenant that we're reading, right? We're under the new covenant. Who's the Jew under the new covenant? Notice what it says. We are the circumcision. Now, Paul says we. So that means Paul. And he's writing to what church? Philippians. What were they? Gentiles. By physical birth. Jews by new birth. All God's people say it. They were. We are the circumcision. Him and them. We are the circumcision. And what does the circumcision do? They worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Messiah Jesus. And they have no confidence in their flesh. Oh, God's people say it. What are you going to do with Philippians? What are you going to do with Philippians 3:3? What a beautiful text that is. We are the circumcision. We're the true Jew, which worship God in the Spirit. That means from your heart, not just outward, but inward. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have... Do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? How often do you do it? How often do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? You should do it every day, shouldn't you? I mean, we'd be in a slave house of sin if it wasn't for Him. We need to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Without Christ Jesus, we'd be going to hell. Without Christ Jesus, we'd have no hope. So we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we don't have no confidence in our flesh. Who is all of our confidence in? All of our confidence is in Jesus. That's where all of our confidence is at. Okay? All right, let me go ahead and go back to our text. I'll leave that, and I'll give you one more verse. Okay? Colossians 3. And we're looking at verses, Colossians chapter 3, and now we're going to look at verse 12. Now, when we get down to verse 12, we're going to get on to a list. And it's going to give you a list of things that we need to have as Christians, okay? He wants you to put on like you would put on a clothes. Here's what he wants you to put on. And I'm just going to read it to you. I'm just not going to explain it. Put on holiness, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of man, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another. What's forbearing mean? It's putting up with people to irritate you, basically. I didn't know any other way to say it. Forbearance means you put up with a good bit. The opposite would probably be quick tempered. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. I'm not going to deal with this tonight. I just read it to you. But here's what I am going to deal with. In verse 12, it gives you three title names for God's people too. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. What does he call them? Calls them elect. Now, that's a Bible word. It's used in a lot of places. I preached along that line this morning, so I'm not going to go back down that route again. But another name for God's people is they're called the elect. Matthew 24, just turn to there. Matthew 24, just turn to there. Almost done. Matthew 24, in verse 24. It's talking about the last days. This is the days that we're in now anyhow. I've taught Matthew 24 before, Mark 13, Luke 21. It's talking about the second coming. There are the last days. There shall rise false Christs, false apostles, and they shall show great signs and wonders. If it were possible, they could deceive who? The very elect. He refers to them as the elect. If you look down, do y'all see where it says elect there? If it says it, that's a Bible word, right? If you interpret it, it just means chosen. All right. Now let's look on up here to the next one. Let's read 30 and 31. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's when Jesus comes again. That's pretty clear, right? Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And all the tribes of the earth, what are they going to do? What are they crying for? Jesus is coming and they're not ready. And they set in services just like this one and heard about these things and never trusted him. Never trusted him. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. Now, I want you to notice one more thing in this verse. I want you to look at verse 30. I want everybody in the house to look at verse 30, and I want you to see this one thing. And they shall see. It's not a secret rapture. They shall see it. They're going to see it happen. Trumpet's going to sound. Christ will come and get his people, and they'll see it. That's what it says right here. Look at verse 30. It's again, one more time. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's talking about the second coming. They're going to see it. It's not going to be a secret. Then what's going to happen? And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And he'll gather together his what? He calls them that again. And this is the raptured saints here. Now gather his elect together from the four winds. That's north, south, east, and west. He's going to close it all out. Get them all out of here. Watch it. Let me read it one more time. I like it. I get chills over it. I love this text. 31. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, north, south, east, and west, and from one end of heaven to the other. That's a gap. See the gathering there? He's going to gather them all on earth. He's going to gather them all from heaven. All God's people see it. Man, I like that, don't you? Well, We're going to go ahead and stop. We're going to go ahead and stop with this tonight. And the message this evening, put off. We are to put off our sin. How do you put your sin off? Well, your sin was put off whenever you were saved. We also seek to live sober, righteous, and godly in this world, too, because we love the Lord. Thank God for you.